I'd like to welcome everybody here today. How you doing?
Good.
Great. I'm Robbie Valentine and Milt Wagner, myself, Chris West, and Herbert Crook, which they must be in traffic. I know they're supposed to be here. We've been working and planning and trying to get this 86 reunion underway with the help of the University of Louisville, and we want to thank Zach Brooks and Kenny Klein. A lot of people don't think how much work goes into this. You know, trying to get in touch with guys that you played with over 30 years ago turns into a big headache. And it's been fun, Milt and myself and Chris and Herb, and just communicating with everybody. And we're excited about February 20th, Louisville against Duke. And it's funny, our store over here has the uniforms that they'll be wearing, the throwback uniforms they'll be wearing on that Saturday, the white uniforms. As I think last night they had the black on, and they look really nice. The only difference is, Milt, I don't think you can wear them shorts, man. You had 30 years ago, and you look at these long shorts. It looks pretty. They look pretty nice. You know, when you think back 30 years, and you think back at Coach Crum and the host of guys that we all played with, and now we're here. It's going to be a really neat, emotional weekend on February 20th, and we're excited about it. And right now it looks like we have 11 of the 15, 16 players that will be in. We just heard that if Kenny Payne, if there's not a conflict with the University of Kentucky schedule, he will be in town for the game. I'm just going to list some of the players and managers, and then talk a little bit about the activities that we're going to have, and then I'm sure Coach and Milt will love to talk about this as well. Just starting at the top, and I'll go really quick. Jeff Witt, our manager, Dr. John Ellis, Dr. Walter Badenhauser, trainer Jerry May, Sherry Brown, Danny Haas, Tom Steltenkamp, assistant coaches Jerry Jones, Bobby Dodson, Wade Houston, players David Robinson, Will Ologies, Tony Kimbrough, Keith Williams, Mike Abram, Jeff Hall, Chris West, Robbie Valentine, Herbert Crook, Milt Wagner, and Billy Thompson. Kevin Walls, he's still working on possibly coming in. It's going to be a last-second situation. He still lives in New Jersey. Mark McSwain lives in France. He will not be in attendance. Purvis Ellison, if his son is not playing and or his high school basketball team is not playing, he will be here as well. Kenny Payne, of course, at Kentucky. He's going to work on his schedule. And Avery Marshall lives in Atlanta, Georgia. He told us today that he's not going to be able to make it because it's his kid's spring break. So that's our 86th national championship team. And again, we're excited about having an opportunity to be introduced at halftime and looking forward to spending a lot of time together. Directly following the game, we're going to go next door to Barano's, and any fans that want to come over and see any of the guys and coaches will be over there from after the game until about 4 o'clock or so. And then following that, we're going to have dinner at Captain's Quarters here in Louisville, and then following, if fans want to come over and get autographs and pictures, we'll be on hand to do that as well. So it's going to be a long day, but we're looking forward to it. And if you have any questions, you know, feel free to ask. I know Coach Crum and Milt both be glad to answer any questions you have. The only thing I do want to say, of course, and I know that a lot of you want to ask, but because of what's going on at the university, you know, we just can't comment on what's happened or what's going on or what's moving forward. It's just something that, you know, we have no hand in it. You know, we just want the best for the university, the kids, the coaches, and that's kind of where we're at. And I'm speaking on behalf of myself, and I guess Coach and Milt can speak on their own, but that's kind of where I'm at. So if you have any questions about the 86 reunion, please ask. You guys want to come up? Yeah, Coach?
Afternoon. Milton?
Yes, Coach.
I like you up here on my side.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, we might have to shoot a few threes here, but
no problem.
We can do that, can't we?
Let me in.
I know, and then I told them before they could have mailed us the trophy if they'd have let us shoot threes. And that, of course, didn't happen, but we, that was an interesting team. We lost 7 games early until Milt got back in shape and ready to go. He had the Jones fracture, broken foot, and had to sit out the year before. So, and when he came back, well, we got better and better as the year went on, and then by the end of the year, we were the best team. And it's interesting how everybody has their own perspective on how things work and what they think. And Bobby Knight told me after that game that the best team didn't win the championship. And I said, they did tonight. He thought that Duke was a better team, and they may have been, but they weren't that night. And that's the only night that really counts, not coach night. But the only night.
He told you that night or later on?
No, he told me, after the game I saw him.
What'd you say to him that night?
I said, they did tonight. He said the best team didn't win the championship this year. And I said, the best team tonight did. So, anyway, I love Coach Knight. He's a great guy. We always had a good relationship. The team itself, I said, lost 7 games earlier in the year, and we just finally got it all together towards the end. And of course, there was no 3-point shot then, so it came down to 2-point baskets and 1-point free throws. That's the way it worked, and we had some special things to do at the end of that game that helped us. And I won't get into the X's and O part of it, but I'll just say that at the end we did some things that we hadn't done during the course of the game that helped us win.
Coach, talk about what it'll be like to have everybody, or most of the guys, back and around.
Well, you know, I don't get to see some of these guys. They don't live here, but there's a bunch of them that do live here that I get to see on a regular basis. And, you know, a guy like Milk's living here now, I believe, and Robbie always. There's a bunch of them that do that. Some of them that just come in for special events like this. Appreciate the athletic department helping us get this thing going, and I'll eat some pizza after the game, and I'll go to the captain's quarters and eat dinner too. If I have to eat twice in one afternoon, it probably won't hurt me. It won't help me, but it won't hurt me.
Guys, watch games now. Do you think about how you guys would do against today's teams?
Sure, I do.
And
they wouldn't have a chance.
Why?
Back then, in my opinion, I think the game was played a lot more the guys knew how to play. Now it's not built on athletic ability and things like that. They don't really know how to play the game of basketball. Back then. And plus, you have guys that be in school for 4 years also. You get these young kids, one and done, and things like that. So I think we had a lot more knowledge back then.
You mean because all it is now is like dribble handoffs and pick and rolls?
Yeah, they pretty much go straight to the NBA game, pretty much. So the game is the value, evolved around. So.
You guys want to answer that?
I personally think, you know, the caliber of Milt, Billy, Herb, and those guys, if they came in right now, you almost have to say they're one and done guys too in the 80s, because these guys were unbelievable players, but Coach Crum didn't have to spend as much time on the basic skills because these guys had a lot of knowledge in that area, and coaches coached then. Now kids have 3, 4, and 5 coaches while playing high school basketball. I mean, AAU teams are practicing right now while the basketball season are going on. And I think it really, I don't know if it helps basketball as much as it did in the past, but there's a lot more going on the AAU side than has in the past.
I don't know how you can predict. You can predict, yeah. I don't know how you can say these teams would kill us or we'd kill them. Milt can say it. I'm not sure. I don't know what the difference is. But I do know the game is a lot different than it was in those days. We ran plays, different sets and plays. You don't hardly see that. You see passing, ball movement, and then it's pick and roll. Or it's duck your shoulder and go take it to the basket and either dunk it or dish it, you know, or shoot your little floaters. I mean, if it didn't hit the backboard, from out there, we weren't shooting it. I mean, we practiced just the shots that we were going to get in the games, and we practiced them every day. And we ran dummy offense every day for 20 minutes so that they would know the plays that we were going to run and the options just on my call. Or I could just tell Milt, he could tell them. It didn't matter. They knew they because they ran them every day at my call.
Diddy, you had three really knockdown, drag out games with Memphis. You lost down there by two. You came back here, and I remember Andre Turner was a 95% free throw shooter. And I think you had called a timeout, and I said, all I want you to do is get the ball to Will. Well, he missed. Can you remember that and talk about that?
I had a good feeling about that because I knew if we could get the ball and we'd give it to Milt that they would foul him. They'd have to foul him. And when you fouled Milt at anywhere near the end of the game, you could write it on the wall. It was in. Automatic. I mean, he never missed at the end. He made all kinds of shots for us, free throws in particular. When we even ran a stack play like this and ran him between two guys so he could get the ball inbounds because we knew they were going to foul him. And they were going to foul whoever got the ball. So I wanted to make sure he got it. And we did that successfully. And he made his free throws. He made the two free throws, I think, when he was driving the baseline and he got fouled. And then we got it into him at the other end off an inbounds play and we got him the ball and they fouled him. And then he made those free throws, which from my perspective, when he went to the line, I knew the game was over. I mean, I knew he'd make them. He always did.
Remember that, Milt? I know you were at Memphis as a coach. Did they ever get on you down in Memphis about that?
All the time. They let me know they used to hate me. And I told them I understand.
Milt, can you talk about, I think you were still coaching, I believe, the last time the group got together for one of these. What's it going to be like for you to see? And have you seen most of the guys, or do you get to see most of them?
Well, I get to see them whenever I come in town. But it's going to be real special for me, because that was really my second senior year. So I broke my foot my first senior year. So I decided to come back because I knew we had a special group of guys coming back, and I knew we had the chance of winning a national championship. And that was something I was missing. I had been to two Final Fours prior to that, but I had a chance. I never won it. So going back that third time was something special that I really wanted to do. And I thought we had a real good chance of doing it with the great group of guys we had coming back and the freshmen we had coming in that year. So that year was really special to me because it all turned out just right. By me redshirting, I was able to get me a national championship.
He also got one in high school. Well, he got a state championship, and then he got one in the NBA with the Lakers. So he's one of the few, he and Billy, that happened to.
Bro, Bill, and Rob, talk about the senior players and how special this day is.
well for me, you know, being able to live here practically all my life and, you know, being able to communicate with the players, because a lot of times when they want to come in town, they know they can count on me because I live here and I know a lot of the contacts. So for the last 2 years, we basically have put so much pressure on Milt to move back to Louisville. I mean, you guys have no idea, because he's been gone too long, and this is his home. And myself and Chris and Herbert, we're inseparable. I mean, we were always together. But as far as seniors, myself, Jeff, and Billy and Milt, it's very special. Of the three, I was the only one that was a reserve player. These guys, they started 2 and 3 years on the team, and I was kind of the team clown and the team coach. And then going into my senior year, coach said, "You room with Milt." I thought I just died. You know, I have to room with Milt my senior year, because it's. And coach said, "You're responsible for anything that happens in the room and out of the room." I told my mom, "I'm losing my scholarship," because trying to chase him down, man. Milt did things that people in prison was doing, coming down off sheets out of hotel rooms. Y'all wouldn't believe the things he was doing. I said, "This is the kind of things they did in the hood in Jersey." That's a fun side, because we tease about this day in 30 years. But for me, it's very special. I mean, I'm 52 years old.
I didn't know a thing about it.
Actually, you didn't. But, Coach, I told you every time you did that. But anyway, but it's just funny that I'm 52 years old. I have 6 grandbabies. I have 7 kids. And being able to share all that with my teammates after 30 years, and it's something pretty special.
Shoot, I'm going to be 79. I don't have that many kids.
Coach, 3 of them are my stepchildren, man. I got to put them in the family. But I want to say this about Coach, and I turn it to Milt. You know, I grew up without a father. And when you choose to come to the University of Louisville and you have a chance to have a father, not a father figure, a father that's in your life. I mean, Coach Crum never came in the locker room at halftime and said one bad language to any of us as players the 4 years I was there. Now, he had other coaches that would do it for him, but he didn't do it. And the respect that we have for Coach Crum is amazing. And some of the guys like Milt, they didn't have a father. Billy had a father. Jeff Hall had a father, but it was a distant relationship. This is our dad. I mean, he really is. I mean, Steve and Scott had to share him, and Cindy had to share Coach with us. And he knew that. And the role he played as a Christian coach, it was amazing. And he taught us a lot about just being a good father, being a good friend, and being a good Christian.
Yeah, just like Robbie said, Coach Crum, Coach Houston, Coach Dawson, Coach Jones, they were great father figures for us. And Coach Crum, at the time when I was a freshman, I was kind of mad because I wasn't playing that much, but I didn't really understand exactly what he was doing, how he was grooming me. Because being a McDonald's All-American and coming to a big program like the University of Louisville, you know, you always think you're good enough to be starting and this and that. But after about 3-4 games, I realized what he was doing. He was grooming me, and he was teaching me the system. And I had pretty good guys in front of me, too, but I always thought I was better than everybody. That was just me. but I had guys in front of me to learn from, and it was such a learning experience that once I got my opportunity to start the next year, it was like I was starting the whole time, but it was just Coach Crum sitting me down, letting me learn the system, grooming me, and letting me appreciate how important it is to get that spot once you get it. You know, you have to earn your position there. He's not just gonna give it to you. And I learned that under him, and that made me the man I am today. You know, I never knew I was going to be a college coach. I'm not going to lie to you. When I thought I was going to play professionally a whole lot of years, and that's it. But I started thinking about how Coach raised me here in the system, and I started working with kids, you know, at the end of my career, actually. And I decided, hey, I want to get into coaching, man. And a lot of that is from Coach Crum, you know, just being on me, showing me the way, and wanted to show other kids what it takes to get to that next level.
You also think about the actual night of winning the national championship. We said 30 years ago, a couple times happened. Does it feel like 30 minutes?
Oh, no,
man.
Look at us. No,
feels,
not at all.
Feel like it happened yesterday. I mean, all them guys, we consider ourselves brothers. I mean, you develop a certain bond when you're with guys like that every day, every practice. I mean, that's your life. You with them guys 24/7. So we develop as a brotherhood, and we got father figures in our coaches. And I mean, it's just great to get to see everybody once again. And I'm sure we're going to reminisce, and it's going to be like we've been together all the time.
I invited Jay Billis to come to this event here.
Please.
But he declined.
But he will be in town, so we'll let him know that as we introduce him. We'll give him a rose as we are introduced at halfway.
Danny Ferry.
Yeah.
He
can't come.
But Jay and I, we teased about this all the time, because a lot of people tease him about when he's doing a Duke or Louisville game. He's a good guy.
One quick story, and Milt, this one broke our heart. Shaquille O'Neal came in on his official visit. We had the best visit. I mean, it was just the best visit of all the kids. And his father wanted to retire in Fort Knox, Kentucky. Perfect. Everything's perfect. We had our Friday night, we had our Saturday night, and every Sunday we were at Coach Crum's house eating breakfast. The whole team, recruits, family, everybody. Coach is cooking his pancakes. We go outside of the Baz Lake, and Shaq said, if Coach can promise me that I'm going to start day one, I'm coming. We're all nervous. We finally eat our breakfast. We're sitting around in his front room. Coach. Shaq said, Coach, I'll sign right now if you tell me I'm going to start. Coach Crum looked at him and said, Shaquille, I've never promised anybody that you're going to start here at the University of Louisville, and I can't promise you that. He said, I'm not going to Louisville. We were all crying, man. It's like, Coach, he's 7 foot. He's a monster. But that's the kind of person Coach is. And like Bill talked about, he grooms you, he helps you along, and he never one time will tell us a lie and make us something we're not. And I have a lot of respect for him, but does he remember it? Yeah, Coach remembers it. Y'all, why y'all keep asking Coach, does he remember it? You're the second person to ask you, do you remember something?
I remember, yeah, but I couldn't, I mean, that just was not the right thing to do as much as we'd like to have had him. So we had to go down to Louisiana and beat him, which we did.
We did. Yep. Dale Brown said, Robbie, look what would happen if you were here at LSU. So, Coach, this is my third trip. But it was a good time, though.
Just out of curiosity, you were talking about today's game versus the girls' game. Pro terms, how would you think the Golden State Warriors would stack up what you all paid me for tonight? You did 90s.
Well, we beat his dad several times at Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Dale can answer that question.
Dale can answer that question.
The game changes, but, you know, I always would like to think that the kids that come out today are good kids, just like the ones we had. I mean, I don't have anything negative to say about any of the guys that came and played for us. And I know, I think most of the coaches today feel like all the kids they have are really good kids. And the systems change and the X's and O's, but it's not a lot different.
I think the development of the kids are a little different. I mean, I was 6'5", 200 pounds. These kids today are 6'4", 230 pounds. And I don't know what the hell they're eating, but it's something that blows me away, their physique that these kids have, and they don't lift not a second of weights. And we try to get out of weights when we play. Remember, we called Dr. Ellis. Coach says you got to go weight conditioning. Coach Dr. Ellis said we can't do it today. Our back, knees, ankle hurts. Oh, okay, you're fine then. These kids today, they live in a gym.
I should say it messed up my jump shot. I can't lift it. We had excuses then.
We had a lot of excuses. They worked until game time. I'm going. Coach Crum's discipline was, if you were getting 25 minutes a game, and you go two games getting 10, and then you got to go to him and say, Coach, what's going on? You missed two classes. So that was kind of his discipline. That's the way he did things. Yeah. His favorite words, you get what you earn in this world.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
That's
exactly
right. That's
right.
I believe it was the first year this arena opened up, we had our, it was the 25th anniversary. That's what it was. So it was right when the arena first opened, and Milt at the time was at Memphis. How many guys live in Louisville, Kentucky?
I'm living here. I'm back home.
I think seven, six live out of town, and seven live in the metropolitan area. And one thing about Louisville in the 80s, when we played under Coach Crum, I think everybody had an address in Louisville. Just about every player that played in the 80s made Louisville their home, even if they were in the NBA. Summer leagues, and Rick, you know this because you've been around as long as all of us. You know, our summer leagues in this city brought players, some of the best players around the country, into Louisville to go to Crawford Gym. And that, if you've never been there, a lot of you are young reporters, there's so much history in there, and I think Wade Free did a piece on it. It's really an amazing piece of history on the University of Louisville campus. That's where we won the championship, both, you know, there and pretty much.
If you read the newspaper, you know as much as I do. I think all of any of us can do it. Just wait and see what the final outcome will be. I don't have any inside information.
What can you all say about this current team as far as what they've done to kind of capture? I guess when Coach Pitino explained it pertaining to Dane and Drew, is they captured the imagination of the fan base. That was their job to do that. Is that how you guys feel kind of still about this current team despite the lack of postseason hopes?
I'm not sure exactly what you're asking, but
how would you characterize what this team has done for the city of Louisville? How their impact as far as
I think this is a great team. They've come a long ways. They're a whole lot better than they were. They're capable on a given night, as they showed against North Carolina, that they can beat anybody on a given night. They play hard, they play together. Rick's, I think, done a great job with this group. If you'd have told me at the beginning of the year that this team would be competitive at year end, I said, well, I'll have to wait and see, because that's not the way it looks right now. But they have come a long way, they really have.
And we echo what Coach said. They're a great group of kids, great coach, great system. And every time I watch them play, it just reminds me so much of our 80 team, 86 team. I mean, you think of Herb, you think of Milt, you think of Billy. Some of these young kids have some of what we have from what I see. I really enjoy watching them play. The family style that they have, both on and off the floor, you can't get that anywhere. Coach Pitino was able to build that in such a short time with 2 fifth-year seniors. I love his team. Nope.
Yes, I think they've grown from day one to now as a team, as a family. I mean, them guys, you can tell them guys really love each other, and they all play for each other. They've gotten better game after game. And this field was so wide open, it's no clear favorite. It would have been, we definitely had a chance to win it all this year, there's no doubt, because you don't have not one team you can say that's just a clear favorite in this field out here today. So, but don't think them guys are doing a great job. You can tell they really care about each other.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.